Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you reveal to us, Lord. In your word, we see, we understand your character, your nature, your desire for us, and we also find the will of our Father for our lives. And again, as we proclaim this morning in the beginning, what we shall do according to your plan and will, and the outcome because we follow and obey. Lord, have your way this morning again. I surrender to you. Let what's said and done here today bring honor and glory to you. Let no man be glorified. We give all glory and honor to you. Hide me, Lord. Speak through me. I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has been speaking to me about some things. It's a simple subject. And it has to do with taking up your cross. What does that really mean? No, that's the whole point. It doesn't mean we're going to get crucified like Jesus. But it means there is some obligation involved. It means there are some things that are required of us. But there's also some things that are gained because we obey him and take up our cross. He's very clear about that. I want to share with you to get started. First of all, Wednesday night after I left here, I went home and I was sitting at the computer for a few minutes, writing, you know, taking some notes and maybe just playing a little game or two just to wind down and get ready to go to bed. And I get this excited phone call from Spokane, Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this morning, don't you ever think that God doesn't see or know who you are and where you are, what your desires are, and that he doesn't have a plan for you, according to the Word. A while back, my daughter and I were talking, and she expressed a desire. She was upset. She was in anxiety over some things going on, some things that weren't going the way she would have liked to have them go in her home. And you know what amazes me? Every time something like this happens, out of the clear blue sky, and there's been times when I've wanted to say something or get involved, and God said, shut up. Stay away. Leave it alone. I got it under control. So I've been obedient. I think I shared with you when I was up there at Christmas that I was sitting one night, God woke me up. I was grieved and I was upset. And I went to the Word. It really bothered me what was going on. I'm not going to go into those details again. But as I went to the Word, I got up and went to the table in the middle of the night. And I went to the Word. I was there about an hour. And God revealed some things to me. And it's amazing. I more than got on the plane after my time there was up. I get home and my daughter calls me and says, Dad, Charles came to me and we talked about this and this and this, which was the very thing, without me saying a word or her saying a word, God was dealing with him already. Now that's for all of us. That's not just for Charles. We can all put ourselves in that slot. Well, I get this phone call, and then, like I say, recently she shared with me, she said, Dad, and through some of the conversation and things we've had, she expressed a desire from her that's in her heart. Charles is involved with the youth of the church up there. I think they call it New Hope Christian Center up there in Spokane. And she had a desire to be involved with the children's church, with the small ones. She never voiced that to anybody but me. God heard. God knew. He knew the desire of her heart. So I get this call Wednesday night, and she says, Dad, you're never going to guess what. Recently, they've made a decision that Charles is going to get out of the Air Force. The reason for that is because unless he can pass his sergeant's exam, he's going to get out of the Air Force. He's got another year to go. And he's going to they want to be involved with their church more heavily than they already are. This coming Wednesday night, Charles will give his first message to the youth, which they trade off. And Joanna says to me, she said, Dad, she said, Donella, who is the pastor's wife, came to me and she said, I've been praying. And God told me you're supposed to be the coordinator of our children's church. But now listen, folks, that's only the part of it. The point is, recently, because they've made some decisions to follow God, not just recently, but throughout their time, but recently more than ever, they've just made it, and Joanna has not had an income since she moved up there. Washington will not honor her Colorado cosmetology license. She'd have to go back and retake the test and pay all that money again. And she said no. They couldn't afford it, number one. And number two, I mean, she could practice on the base because they have no autonomy. The base is autonomous. They can't touch anything that goes on the base. But the point is, they made some decisions because of what they're going to do. They're looking into getting a place, getting some things out of the way. And one of the decisions they made, they're going to get rid of their credit cards. And in that decision, Donella comes and says, God says you're supposed to be the coordinator of our children's church, which is her desire fulfilled. Not spoken to anybody, but God heard and God knew. Amen. And on top of that, it's a paid position. She's a staff member with a paid position. They're not going to get rich off it, but the point is that God sees and He knows what you need before you ask. And that leads me to the subject this morning of taking up your cross. I've thought about a title, and I think I mentioned something to Patrick Wednesday night, but I'm telling you, I don't know what the title is. I'll let the Holy Spirit tell Patrick that, or you all that. But one of the things God tells us, and He's very clear about it, is that we are supposed to take up our cross and follow Him. And sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I read scriptures like that, and I'm not quite sure exactly what God means by that. The one thing we know for sure is we're not required to go and be on the cross like He was. In the physical sense, are you with me? In the spiritual sense, we are required to be on that cross every day. And that's part of taking up that cross, is that we die to self. We die to our thoughts, our will, our purposes and plans, except that are subject to His will and purpose and plan. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you will, turn with me. Actually, I'm going to read Mark 14:36, but I'm going to give you three scriptures that basically are a repetition of the same topic here, and you all are probably familiar with that. Matthew 26:39, Mark 14:36, which is the one we're going to read, and then Luke 22:42, if you're taking notes. Mark 14:36. And I promise you, this morning, I got the right passages, the right books, and everything. So, praise the Lord. Anyway, in these three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is talking, and He's saying, and He said, you understand, this is the point where He is just about ready. He's being betrayed as we speak, or as this is going on. He's gone up, He's in the garden praying, the disciples have fallen asleep, and His humanity is crying out. And here's what He says. And this needs to be the way we pray and the way we react every time we come into God's presence. There's things we desire, there's things that we want, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the point is sometimes we want things that are not maybe in accordance with God's plan. God gives, when we need to understand, when God says He gives the desires of our heart, gives us the desires of our heart, that doesn't necessarily mean, although it includes, did you catch that? Doesn't necessarily mean, but it includes the fact that He will put the desire in your heart and then fulfill that desire. So your desires are not wrong, it's just sometimes we desire things that maybe are really not the best thing for us, and we need to leave that up to God. But here's what He said in verse 36 of Mark chapter 14. He said, and He said, this is Jesus praying, Abba Father, Daddy God, all things are possible for You. Take this cup from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. In that, we find, and again, it's a repetition in all three books that I just gave you, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We find that he's crying out for something. Obviously, I mean, let's face it, as a human being, the last thing you'd want to do is know that you're going to face a cross or face imminent death or punishment, especially for something you didn't do. Like that. So what he's doing is he is surrendering his will, as he did his entire life, to the Father to accomplish the Father's will. How many know that's what we're here for? To be an extension or the hands and the feet to accomplish God's will on this earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 10:35-39. Emphasis will be on the verse 38. Matthew 10, verses 35 through 39. And I'm going to just read these. And these, again, are some repetitions, but I think it's important that we see the different variations of this. So we're going to go through all four of them. And this, again, two in Matthew and one in Mark and one in Luke. But Matthew 10, 35 through 39. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What we're finding here is the fact that he's given very specific instructions. We all know it's not about us, it's about him, it's about others. And our lives, if we're going to be effective in this world, and if we're going to be effective as believers and accomplish the will of God, we're going to have to be surrendered to his will. And that's why the Bible says, you know, why Paul said, he said, I die daily. What does that mean? That doesn't mean he physically dies and he's resurrected again. That means that he gives up his will every day. Salvation is new every day, is it not? He gives up his will for God's purpose and plan, to fulfill the call of God on his life. And I remind everybody again, something you know, but I'm just going to remind you. The call of God doesn't mean necessarily the fivefold ministry gifts. We're all called of God. We all have a plan and a purpose that God set in our path. Amen? And so our obedience is what's going to accomplish that plan. But it says, take up your cross and follow him. Now in Matthew 16:24, it says it just a little bit differently. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone denies himself or desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. For whosoever desires to save his life, in verse 25, will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now in Mark 10, 17 through 23, this is the story of the rich young ruler. And he came running to Jesus, and he asked some questions of Jesus, or asked a question, a specific question. Mark 10, verses 17 through 23. Now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you notice that Jesus loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And in verse 22 it says, But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And in verse 23 it says, and Jesus looked around to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now we're not going to talk about the other subject that's mentioned here, and basically the picture is, he didn't possess the riches possessed him. Are you with me? We're not going to talk about that this morning. What we're going to show, though, is when you have desires or you let things come into your life that are more important than the will of God, when you let things come, when God's spoken to you about a certain area where you're supposed to be obedient, something that he wants to change in your life, and you do anything other than that, you have not taken up your cross and you have not denied yourself and you're not following after him, you're following after you. Pretty simple, huh? Not rocket science. So the point is, what we want to do is, if we're going to see God bless us and we're going to see the fulfillment of Jeremiah 29:11, we have to take up our cross and follow Him. And that means we have to die daily. Let me say something to you, folks. God knows what you have need of. And He's already given abundant promises in His Word that says He'll take care of you, He'll give you what's needed, and He has blessings for you, right? We know that through Jeremiah 29:11. But in Philippians, I believe it's Philippians or... Yeah, Philippians 4:19. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you can look it up. But it says, "Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." Well, your soul's not going to prosper by seeking after every little want desire you have, unless it's seeking after the wants and desires to serve God. In which case, that's part of taking up your cross and following after Him. Are you with me so far? So it's important that we see and understand that. The main verse in Mark 10 is verse 21. "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me.'" Give up and you'll have... Follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. See, sometimes we focus on the wrong area. We focus on the things we think we might be going to lose, or the discomfort of having to put down our wants and desires or our plans maybe for a day to accomplish the will of God. And we don't like that sometimes, because there's still too much of us. Right? Go back to what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming. "He must increase and I must decrease." Luke 9:23-27. We're going to read this just for final emphasis. And it's just basically telling you from a different point of view. The same thing we've been talking about. "Then he said to them," this is a different situation, but the same words. You think there might be just a pattern or a thread of consistency running through the word here? So this wasn't just to the rich young ruler, it's to all of us in all circumstances. "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, if you desire to come after God, to serve God, to have what God has for you, then what you need to do is you need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily.'" Did y'all read that there? Verse 23. "And follow him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." And then, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Okay? So here he's telling us. It's simple. But we complicate it, and we get a little edgy, you know, we start to feel a little pressure, you know. Human nature, I'm telling you, it's amazing. In my own life, I look at all the times when God's telling me, "Hey, go this way." How many know God tells you when to turn to the right and left? And because of something that is very important to my flesh or my thoughts, I haven't wanted to give it up. But God's brought me from that place, and He's teaching me every day. The more I surrender to Him, the more I see fulfilled in my life His desires, my desires, and the blessings flowing. That's obvious in the testimony. Did y'all get excited when I told you that testimony? See, God knew and He saw the desire of the heart of Charles and Joanna. Did they do everything perfect? Do they do everything perfect? No, you and I don't either. But the point is that God saw the heart that was after Him. And without having spoken it to anybody, God took that. He saw the tears she cried, the tears He's cried, the tears you've cried. And He bottles those up and He holds those. And those things He remembers so that He can fulfill His plan in your life. That's part of Him increasing and you decreasing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Deny yourself. Follow after Christ. Take up your cross and follow Him. One of the things we're commanded to do in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and we know this, this is one of the things that God, it's an observation that God made in His Word that He showed us. Okay, not Romans, 1 Corinthians, Bill. One thing we know from Romans is it says that children will imitate their father, and his deeds they will do. And there's a very, very negative statement made here, and we're going to read that in just a minute or two. But 1 Corinthians 11, 1 tells us very clearly. It says, imitate me, or imitate Christ. Or basically, he's talking about Paul, I'm sorry. Imitate me. In other words, people are being admonished by Paul. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. So let's take all the junk in the middle out and just say, imitate Christ. Amen? The anointed one with the anointed. You want the anointing in your life? You want the blessings of your life? Take up your cross and follow Him. What does that mean? That means deny everything that would keep you from accomplishing His will. Anything that gets in the way. Because when you give up your life for His sake, He promises the abundant blessings that He has for you will come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. Which is demonstrated. I'm telling you, nothing could have thrilled me more than to hear a testimony like that. I got so excited I had to call Jean that night. Thought I got out of her bed. Because I was blessed by that. You know, I've watched God over the years when Joanna's made decisions before Charles ever came in the picture, make decisions that were right and watch God supernaturally bless her. Supernaturally bless her. To where fresh out of school, out of cosmetology school, she went, became a part of a salon, and within just a very short period of time, she was promoted. How many know promotion comes from God? Amen? To manager. They don't usually do that to a young person. Promotion comes from God. But because she made some decisions and did exactly what God wanted her to do, faithfully and willingly, without grudging, no grudges involved, God promoted her. Then again, because she honored God and one of her desires was to be able to come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and they kept telling her, oh yeah, we're going to let you out, you know, we're going to, and they never did it. So she said, I'm out of here. She put herself down and honored God. When we do that, God says, I'll raise you up. Amen? Yeah. She looks in the newspaper and sees a job opening out at a brand new salon at the airport, Concourse B, Denver International Airport. This was prior to 9-1-1. Young girl, these people didn't know her from nothing. Within 3 days, she was promoted manager. Sounds like God to me. I'm giving God the glory. I'm not exalting Joanna. What I'm exalting is the fact that when God puts it in your heart and you give up for Him the things that are important to you, then He really brings back and fulfills the things that are important to you in accordance with His plan and will. Amen? God is the one who gives promotion. Hallelujah. Imitate Christ. Hebrews 6, 10 through 15 is along that same vein, a little different again. Hebrews 10, or 6, verses 10 through 15. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward Him, or toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, did we all catch that? Through faith and patience inherit the promises. How many know we're in a society today where everything is helter-skelter? We're running after things hard and long. I mean, even us, we are, right? I'm not alone here. Oh, y'all can raise your hand. I know anyway. You can't fool me. And we want things. We live in an instant society. Remember we talked, I think last week, about the fact that we're never worried about the outcome. We already know what the outcome is going to be. Where we have a problem is in the timing, right? We sing a song that says, in His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Amen? Amen. That each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Okay, we've read that. Let's go on. Verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, now listen carefully, don't miss this. This is what we're talking about this morning. Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured. Your Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Praise the Lord. One of the things we always need to keep focus on, never lose sight or lose heart in, is the fact that God has a plan, and He's fulfilling that plan, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we think things are looking like they're not going the direction we want. God didn't go to sleep, just like when He was in the boat. Those guys freaked out. They heard the words of Jesus, we're going to the other side, and they freaked out and got their eyes on circumstances, and the next thing you know, they're crying out, you know, don't you care that we perish? Well, honey, if you're in the boat with Jesus, you're not perishing. Right? Praise the Lord. That boat's going where it said it was going. And besides that, even if it had gone down, which is not possible, they'd all been raised again. Amen? Didn't he say, it's not my will that any should perish? And that's especially talking about those. Especially. Not just, but especially talking about those that are his. Would you agree with that? Yes. Praise the Lord. John 8:38. John 8:38. Jesus again is speaking, and he says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. That's an indictment. Not something pleasant that he's saying there. And of course, they wanted to argue with him in the later verses there. You know, this was the Pharisees and Sadducees he was talking to. He says, if they were saying, you know, we're of our father Abraham. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, and we're not going to go there. That's a different story, and that's not what we're about talking about today. But the point is that verse 38 is very important. It says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Who's our Father today? And if He's our Father, which I know He is for everybody in this place, then we're going to do what He says. Amen? Hopefully without any argument, rhetoric, or hesitation. Amen? Philippians 4:6-9. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Philippians 4:6-9. Now listen carefully. Be anxious for nothing. That's part of taking up your cross, is not being anxious. If you take up your cross and you follow after Him, then you know that He's going to bring about all good things. Amen? That's according with His Word. And that things are going to work out the way they're supposed to work out. And can I tell you something? That means for your good as well as the good of others. Right? Okay. You better say amen, because it's the truth. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Did you ever notice that there's some obligation on our part, and there's a little work involved with all of this? It doesn't just happen by osmosis or just because you and I are so great. Now, with that being said, I want you to understand that God loves you, He says, in the Word, with an everlasting love. He's cognizant of you every moment of every day of your life. And He's watching over you. And He's the one who performs His Word and the wonders in your life that He has planned and accomplishes the call in your life when you're surrendered to Him. Amen? It's not up to you and I. The only thing we have to do is be obedient, willing and obedient. And the Bible says when we do that, then we'll eat the good of the land. And we won't have to worry about all these other things. Right? Matthew 6:33. Okay, let's go on. It says, be anxious for nothing but in all things by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Hello? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Far beyond, huh? What we can ask or think? Praise the Lord. will guard your hearts. Oh. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Take up your cross. It means every day when you get up, you seek God's will for the day. Don't set your plans. One of the things God's dealt with me strongly about is every area of my life, when I get up in the morning, not having a set plan, or if I'm about to make a decision, don't go and ask Him after the fact. Get Him involved in the decision. Take up your cross. You know what? He's anxious. Do you understand? He's anxious to tell you and direct you. And you know what? If you go to Him first, you'll probably skip all the hiccups in the road. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know about y'all. I have a tendency to screw things up terrible when I try to go out and do it on my own. Y'all are laughing. You know it's the truth, huh? And I'm not alone, I can tell. As the British would say, if you want to muck it up, just go out and do it on your own. And then you got to go and clean up the mess, or he's got to clean up the mess. And that's not good either. Amen? Don't be anxious. Make your request known to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I want to remind you what it says in Joshua 1:8. I'm just going to quote it to you. Most of you probably quote it to me. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The very important part that's next. You can't jump to the next end before you hit this part right here. You observe to do all that is written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Take up your cross and follow Him. That's part of it. Meditating in His Word, being in His Word, giving Him first place in everything that you say and do. From the moment you take your first breath in the morning when you wake up till the time that you take your last breath at night before you go to sleep. Amen? Acknowledge Him. That's part of taking up your cross. And that's what brings blessings. When He's first and foremost in your life and there's nothing else standing in the way. Now that's a process. That doesn't happen overnight. Thank God He doesn't just require things of us before we have the ability. Remember He said, I won't ever let you go through anything that I won't make a way of escape or that you're not prepared. We've heard many lessons about this in this house. That you can't win. Never a trial. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, in this world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Huh? Be of good cheer in tribulations? Yeah, because the next part of that verse says, because I've overcome the world. I'll imitate Deborah for a minute. Praise the Lord. I like that exuberance. So does God. Praise the Lord. We serve a good God, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. And we need to keep focused on the fact, no matter, even when it's the darkest, and that's when it's the hardest. How many know what I'm talking about? When it seems the darkest, and things are falling apart, and things are not going the way you are, and you're wondering, dear God, where did you go? And that's when the Word of God, because of taking up your cross, should rise up within you and say, I told you I'd never leave you nor forsake you. I told you that when your enemy comes, he'll come in at you one way and he'll flee seven ways. Amen? Oh, you missed a good place to shout. We have exceeding great and precious promises, folks, but they come by taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following after Him. Following, what does that mean? It means doing exactly what Jesus did. Only say and do what the Father says to say and do. And you know what? That means we got to step out of the way. But in doing that, and this does not, I'm telling you, this does not make sense. If you come at it from your natural thinking or from your intellect, it'll make your brain go tilt. You'll walk out of here going, blah, blah, blah. Do it His way. Bible says you exalt Him and He will exalt you. Amen. He'll cause favor to rise up. Pastor's wife comes up to you and says, God told me you're to be the new children's coordinator, and we're going to pay you to do it. Hallelujah. I can hear those thoughts too and say, yeah, well, that's you, Bill, and that's your... No, 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 no. God is no respecter of persons, folks. He's no respecter of persons. And He doesn't think more highly of one of us than He does the other. Not a person in this room that God doesn't have His eye on, and He's not concerned with everything and every aspect of your life. Y'all can say amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. It basically talks about what we just talked about, promotion and exaltation. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. And we're just about to wind down here. How many know it's not the quality? I mean, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's what it says. For exaltation, now listen carefully. When you hear somebody say promotion comes from the north, here's what it says in the Amplified Bible. It says, too many chapters on the same page. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. So that only leaves one direction, doesn't it? But God is the judge, and He puts down one and exalts another. Amen? God is the one who exalts. You exalt Him and He will exalt you. You honor Him, He'll honor you. And that's the reason why these promotions came to the kids. Why you've gotten promotions and things happening in your life that have been blessings. And I happen to know every person in this room. I know God has blessed you and He's done things for you that the only thing you can say is, thank you, Lord, because you know it was Him, right? Right? You had divine favor. How many know the Bible says in Proverbs, your gift will make room for you and bring you forth great men? God says that He'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. I face some unique situations where I work. Imagine that. Well, I know the rest of you don't, but I do. But the point that I'm saying is the fact that once again, God's reminding me to leave the old things behind and continue in the new things. And even though it's not new necessarily, the first time I've heard it is what I'm talking about. I'm reminded again of a situation that happened many years ago with a gentleman I was working with. And I hadn't been there 2 weeks, and I'm telling you, we went back in the back conference room, and everybody in the entire place, with the exception of the guys outside, knew our business. I mean, we had a conversation, and it wasn't, how do you do? And finally, my observation was, you know what, there's one of two choices here. The man was an ungodly man, as far as his job, he knew his job very well, but managing people, he couldn't do that if his life depended on it. And I'm not going to go into all the details. And Adam Morton walked out of that meeting having said, well, you can either fire me or I'll quit. Because, you know, well, I didn't hire you to fire you or have you quit. I said, but Andy, we cannot continue like this. This is not good for the morale. This is not good for the company. We need to be able to work together. You know? And because of the turmoil inside of him, I knew. And God spoke to me and said, Bill, He said, you don't have to like the man, but you honor the position. And because I made that commitment, God began to change things. And when that man finally did leave, he basically got himself in trouble and had to leave. He had no choice. His whole outlook and our relationship was different. Even to the point where we went to our award dinners and things, nice restaurants, he'd stop everybody and said, wait a minute, let's get Bill to pray over the meal. Only God can do that, folks. Only God can do that. And you know what? In that, God was demonstrating His love for Andy. I'd love nothing better to know that Andy was born again. Amen? I'd love nothing better. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And then we're not going to read what you think, so stay with me. No, don't stare. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 3. We're going to read 3 through 6, or 3, 4 and then 6 and then 17 through 21. It says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret, listen, did you catch that? He sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Joanna spoke a small desire. I'd like to work with the kids. See, the rest of that story is, too, the fact that they had enough kids there that there wasn't really adequate supervision. And so she didn't want to let Ariana be in that class with those kids. Not because she feared any harm. Well, yeah, physical harm. She was afraid that there, you know, it wasn't safe enough for her to be there, that she could get hurt because of maybe a little bit of being out of control there because of the improper supervision. But she never voiced that to anybody. God heard. And now she's the coordinator and she can be with her girls. God's good. I'm telling you. Do you understand? I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know if there's any other words I can say. God's good. And I think He reveals, and He's trying to reveal that to us this morning through His Word and through the things that we've experienced in our lives. We've all gone through some things, haven't we, Gene? But we've come out better on the other side, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I think we just about said all we can say about that. God knew the desire of her heart. And He knew it was a pure desire. It wasn't critical of anybody. It wasn't to run anybody else out or to put anybody else down. It was to, you know, it was just a desire. And God brought it about. It was His plan and will all along. So God put the desire there, whether she knows it or not. And then for the right motives and because she did the right things, God's blessing her. Amen. Verses 17 through 21. Two more scriptures. They'll both be in James when we get done with these verses, and we'll end this morning. I hope it's not the end. I hope it's the beginning of a new insight and a new understanding of what it means to take up your cross and follow Him. And it's not a drudgery. But in that, how many know the labor is worthy of his hire? Amen? We're co-laborers with God. And if we fulfill His plan and we keep our focus on Him and fulfill His will, He promises you will not want or lack anything. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Sounds like a plan to me. Talk about insurance? Oh, there's nobody that can give insurance like God can. Or assurance. Maybe that's a better word. Assurance. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in secret means laying down your life. When you fast, you know that means laying something down that's an appetite or that's important to you for Him. Amen? But to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But lay up for yourself, now listen carefully, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves can't break in and steal. I remember a song that came out years ago that said, I give up what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose. Amen? Want me to say that again? We give up what we cannot keep to gain what we can't lose. The Scripture's pretty clear about that, isn't it? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we let God and God's plan be our treasure, then we are truly rich and we'll lack nothing. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The only way for your soul to prosper is to keep your focus on Him. The only way for you to be exalted, for God to accomplish what His plan is in your life, is to take up your cross, deny yourself and follow Him. I mean, when it comes down right down to it, if you examine it, we owe Him everything. Right? He gave us His very best. We owe Him everything. It's like the other song that we sing. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen? All He requires of us. The highest praise, the best gift you can give Him, is to give your life to Him. That means every part of it, every day. Take up your cross. Follow Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read James chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Emphasis on verse 17. Out of the... it's got the Amplified side by side with the King James. I think that's right. Or is this just straight King James? No, it is Amplified. Okay, anyway, here's what it says. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. It says, "Blessed is the man who is patient under trial and stands under temptation, for when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which God promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God is not capable of being tempted by what is evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed, baited by his own evil desire. Then the evil desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Do not be misled, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of light, in whom there can be no variation or shadow cast by His turning. And it was of His own will, free will, that He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation, sample of what He created to be consecrated to Him. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For a man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God." And then James 4, verse 10, final verse. James 4, verse 10. It says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One thing that I've experienced and that I've seen many times in recent years, even when things kind of all of a sudden begin to feel a little uncomfortable and bleak, is the fact that God promotes. And because your focus and your heart is right, God is the one who causes favor with men for you and who promotes you. And remember that God says His blessings come by the hands of men. You give. Give what? Your time, your talents, all that you are to Him. Simply stated, take up your cross. Daily, follow Him. Amen? He says, you're not worthy if you don't do this. I want to be right in the center of His will. We've talked about some of the good things that God has for us in this last day. What I believe is the last day. Now, what that means, I'll let the Holy Spirit tell you what that means. I don't mean that I think He's coming back tomorrow, although anything's possible. I'm ready. How about you? How many know that everything that you've gotten, even in the natural, it took some work to get there? But along with that work, by obeying God, the blessing became two or three or tenfold or a hundredfold, right? The same thing in the Spirit. The work is to obey His word. Amen. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. And He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, from your Father above, the Father of light. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does that help you this morning? Praise the Lord. It's not a drudgery. I think we've dispelled anybody's thinking that it might mean that you're going to have to go and die on a cross. No. It just means that you have to put yourself down. Let Him be lifted up in your life. That's absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Harry. That comes from experience. That was experience talking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm talking about because you've walked in it. You've walked in an element of it. Let's just jump right in. Let's don't just put our little big toe in the shallow end of the pool. Let's go right down there where it's 12 feet deep and just jump in. Amen? Let's just jump in. He tells us, He says, man, He says, well, I can't quote the exact verse, but what it basically says, the gist of the scripture is, try me and see if I won't pour you out a blessing you can't contain. I'm ready. How about you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me. As always, we're willing to pray. If you need prayer for any reason, we're willing to pray, whatever the need is. I want to give this time. Yes, sir.
I just got a call from my sister yesterday. And they found a small bit of cancer in her stomach area. It's in the lining of the stomach, the small intestine. And what they don't want to operate on, because if there's more cancer in her body, then they create more problems than just taking out one. So she called and she said that she's quite up. She's up there. She says, no, I'm not going to try anything more. But she has to go into what they call a PET scan. Now, I guess I got a kick out of it because there's a CAT scan, a dog scan, and there's a PET scan or a lab scan. You know. They got all these different scans. But anyways, it sounds like they want to make sure that everything's okay. So I want to agree with her with the congregation.
Amen.
That they won't find anything more.
Amen. How many know that's the plan of God? Amen? You bet. For those of you who may not have been here for very long, we've met Harry's sister. She's a wonderful lady. Wonderful lady. So, amen. Well, Father, right now, we lift her up to you, and we do agree, Lord, according to her faith and according to your word and our faith corporately with her faith, we agree right now, Lord, that they're going to find nothing else. And what they think they see already is gone even as we speak. We send the word right now and say, be whole and healed in the name of Jesus. We take authority over this out-of-control flesh in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that it's returned to the one who sent it. It didn't come from you. You don't have that ability. You've come to give life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So we thank you, Lord, that right now, even now, Lord, even right now, she feels the warmth of God, the hand and the touch of God. She's healed in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. We will receive no other report, and we thank you for the victory and the testimony of victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody else? Well, since y'all are overrunning me, all talking at once, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. And now I pray, seal your word in all of our hearts. Every one of our hearts, seal your word. Let the words of man fall to the ground, but let your thought, your purpose for this morning be sealed in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.